Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, you're listening to 5 Minute Folklore with me, Bob Shoy. It's been a long time since I posted a new episode, so I thought I'd bring you all up to speed, as I've received a few emails asking when more are coming. Well, I previously said that I was planning to end the podcast, but also that I wanted to work on a few more final episodes. But since then, my studies have really taken up like a lot more of my time. And I also kept promising myself that I would work on more, but 5 Minute Folklore is the most time intensive of the podcasts that I make, so unfortunately there won't be any more episodes now. But I thought I would record this short final episode to say thank you and goodbye. And I'll talk to Rick and Rebecca shortly, who have both really helped me out with this series as well. I really hope you've all enjoyed the episodes that I've made. This podcast has been an incredibly rewarding experience for me. It was a project that I started all on my own as a way to work on something creative at a very transitional time of my life. When I started 5 Minute Folklore, my original podcast, Weird Tales and the Unexplainable, had already been nominated for an award at the British Podcast Awards the year before, and it won a bronze award for most original podcast, which was amazing for three friends who recorded in my kitchen. But when 5 Minute Folklore was nominated the following year, it really did mean a lot. Because this was a project that I'd worked on almost entirely alone, and it was much bigger in scope and more intensive to work on. Folklore stories change over time and from person to person and place to place, so trying to write them and also staying true to the place of origin was a real challenge, but a really satisfying one on the occasions when I felt like I really captured it. Honing in on the geographical aspect of the stories really unlocked the process for me, and including music and culture from where in the world each story originated from, and dedicating each episode to a different country, I thought made each episode more unique and immersive, and was something many listeners also seemed to enjoy. When I first came up with the idea, my partner, Rebecca, who is a graphic designer, was very supportive and helped with artwork, the website, and even did voice work. So I thought it would be nice to have a talk with her about that on this episode. So I'm here with Rebecca. Say hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Very professional. So it's the final episode of 5 Minute Folklore. I thought I'd have talk to you. I'm going to talk to Rick as well on the episode. So it's weird. I feel like I'm interviewing you, even though we live together. Do you remember when I first came up with the idea for the podcast?
I can't remember the exact point, I don't think. Seems like a long time ago now. I remember working on the logo with you, though, which was really fun.
Right, okay. So we'll come to the logo in a second. What I remember is we were living at our... Even though I didn't start the podcast till after we'd moved, I came up with the idea when we still lived in Stukeley.
Mm-hmm.
In that old house. And I remember I came up with it when I was in bed.
Oh, really?
So I was laying in bed, and I think it was a combination of me wanting to do something more...
creative.
Yeah, I obviously Weird Tales have been running for a long time, the other podcast, which is very just like chatty. I wanted to do something that would help me learn to edit stuff more. And at the time, the Folklore Thursday hashtag was becoming really popular on Twitter, and I was seeing that around, and I thought, oh, people like folklore stories, I like storytelling. And I was getting more experimental on some episodes of Weird Tales. I was putting sound effects and stuff in, so I thought that might be quite fun. And it had been on the back burner from then, and then when we moved, I decided to really learn to use some more in-depth editing software, and that's when I started putting stuff together. Yeah, tell me about... So you did the logo for the pod artwork.
Yeah.
So you remember doing that?
I think we just kind of like... We worked on it quite closely together, didn't we? Because I remember you kind of like explaining like what... Obviously like to reflect the concept and everything.
Because I was being difficult. Because I told you about what I wanted and then you showed me loads of roughs and I was like, no, you're not getting it.
But I think like we got... Like I really like the logo and I think we got there in the end and I really like how it kind of represents... Like it's so hard to encapsulate all of the... Like different countries and like folklores and things like that, because they're so individual and different.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we'll come to that in a second as well, like how the artwork changed. I forgot about that actually when I was making my notes for this, but the initial artwork, the brown.
Like the book cover.
Yeah, that was, I said to you, I remember these old storybooks I used to read when I was a kid at my grandparents' house, and I really wanted to give it that feel. But you hadn't read those books. I wanted that same muted color palette with the like woven covers,
like the fabric,
and I was trying to find examples of those old books and it was sending me down a nostalgia trip. And I also said I don't want it just a font, I don't want it digital, I want it hand. I want it intricate and like hand drawn. I was getting very sick of podcast logos just being like a font.
Well, I think the rise of like flat illustration. Yes. Especially, like, how old is the pod now? Like, 3 or 4 years, I guess?
5 minute. I think Rick said we started in 2017. So, yeah, it ran for, like, 3 years and I haven't done anything for, like, a year.
So, 3 or 4 years ago then.
Yeah.
Well, like, the rise of flat illustration is just massive anyway. But I think the fact that it was, like, I drew it by hand. We really worked on it.
I really didn't want like, that flat. Yeah. I really am sick of that. I like very... I like intricate... stuff.
Yeah, even though it's digitally hand drawn, I kind of sketched out like really roughly, and then I brought it into Procreate on the iPad, and then drew it by hand like on the iPad Pro, and kind of like refined it and like really like worked into it for a little while to make sure it was good. And I think it just sets it apart from like all the others. It instantly kind of like stood out as an artwork because. It just kind of differentiated itself from like a lot of other podcast artwork at the time.
Yeah. I remember saying to you, I wanted it to look very natural, which is why it has like the fabric look and the leaves and the like, colours of the brown and the green.
And like the book cover, it's like the logo is of the logo on a book.
Because I wanted it to be like storytelling. I wanted it to reflect the storytelling. So I think in the end... Even though I kept quibbling and saying, no, start again. In the end, it ended up exactly how I wanted and we actually ended up both being really happy with it. But then I can't remember who had the idea. I think you actually had the idea of like each one, you could take that overlay of the writing, the logo part of it, remove it from the book fabric-y thing and put it over another image for each episode.
Like represents.
And that's how I did the individual artworks. So I would try and find... They were fun coming up with. They were an extra like pain to the process, but it was fun to say, oh, well, this is about like... sometimes it would just be like an iconic image. So if you're talking about the Zambezi River creature, you just have an image of the Zambezi River. It's easy.
But the more obscure ones. But,
yeah, sometimes there was the one about the creature that wanted to cut people's hair, so it was just like a close brown image of someone's hair locks and things like that, or like the snake, the serpent, so it was like a zoom in on like scales of a bit
more conceptual.
So it was fun to come up with those as well.
And also like have the image so that I guess it's hard as well because obviously the logo is super intricate. So like having the image behind not kind of like interfere or like obstruct the logo as well. Like I'm always conscious of trying to make that work.
It was good because we didn't really have all like our ducks in a row over when I started Weird Tales. It was just like we decided to do it with this. It was only the second podcast I ever launched. So I think we knew more like we want to get everything prepared and launch it all. So it was like everything, we had a trailer and the first episode and the artwork, and the second episode was all ready to go, like to drop kind of a couple of days later. And it all really worked out with the launch, because it ended up, I remember basically the day it launched, it was on the featured on iTunes, which was really cool.
Yeah, we got on the front page of iTunes, which was awesome.
It was like a pick in the Guardian, on the Guardian website, for a new podcast pick. So it really launched really strongly, which I was so happy about.
And then it got nominated at the Pod Awards.
Exactly. So within the first year, we got that nomination, which was awesome.
Nice recognition.
And we had already been to the Podcast Awards with Weird Tales, and that was nominated. Yeah. So that was amazing. But this one almost felt a bit more special because it was something that mostly I'd worked on my own.
I think people don't realize like how much effort goes into podcasts, but also like how much of your podcasts you do yourself.
Mm.
And there's no big editing crew. There's no big editing suite. You kind of made a lot of this like in a tiny room, like by yourself, like doing all of the Foley and all of the editing and the voices. We've kind of just like begged, stealed and borrowed, like people we know.
That's true. When you talk about the Foley, all the sound effects on 5 minutes, so I do use stock, but I tried to always make, if I could create it myself at home, I did. So I think when I had less time later on in the run, I would rely more on stock.
Hmm.
But at the beginning, I really tried to use as much Foley as possible, like creating my own sounds.
Hmm.
So that was fun. But when we was at the Pod Awards, you know, there was people from
like the BBC and like big brands.
Who do you work for then? I'd be like, I make this in my spare room.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of rewarding. But yeah, that was a really fun night.
It's fun and disheartening at the same time, going up against those like big guys.
Yeah, I had no expectation to win anything. It was just very satisfying to be nominated in a very like tough category.
Yeah.
Really tough. Fiction's a very tough category. With like proper studios making very professional sounding stuff. So that was incredibly rewarding. And like it was obvious that one of those guys was going to win, but we still got to go and have a fun night in London and have drinks on their bit, on their dime and everything. It was really fun.
I feel like at the British Podcast Awards, there should be like a non-studio award.
Well, I think, I think there may even be a homegrown award, something like that now. Yeah.
There should, because it really there's a big difference.
Mm. So wasn't long, I think it might have even been the first episode, which was the second episode I made, the first episode that launched,
switched the order,
where I said to you, can you help me out? Can you do a voice for me? And you were sort of like, oh, I don't know. I said, don't worry, like the voice I'm using on this, I'm putting like all this sort of sound like modulation effects and stuff on it. You're going to sound like an old crone. It's all right.
Oh, thanks.
So you sort of did it as a favour. And then I was like, actually, I need another voice for this episode as well. So, yeah, was you reluctant to start doing voices on the show as well?
Yeah, no. I was reluctant because I don't... I think everybody on the planet will be like, I don't like my voice.
Yeah, everyone likes to sound their own voice.
But it's not something that I'm interested in at all, like voice artistry or anything like that. I would never... even consider it for myself. So I think I was like, oh God. And also just like getting it right. But I also really wanted to help as much as possible with your passion project.
It was harder than I thought to get people to agree to do voices near the beginning.
Mm.
I thought, yeah, I'll have different people on every episode, different people voicing every character. It's going to be really fun. And then as soon as I started, I was like, okay, this is impossible. And the first episode I made, I ended up doing all the voices myself and I wasn't very happy, which is why it didn't get launched first. And I'll be honest, when I think back, I'm like, well, if someone else was doing it, I wouldn't want to do voices on their show. I'd be very like self-conscious about it. And actually, I only use my own voice for the characters on the show when they're very heavily, sort of got heavy effects and stuff on them, mainly because I'm narrating it anyway, so it'd be distracting.
Yeah, but there's also like that, like you can get too much kind of an echo chamber or whatever, like it's your voice narrating and then your voice of the characters and it becomes like you need that like kind of spark and injection of other people's like involvement for the voice to make it more interesting.
So I did have other friends on the show occasionally and family members.
You've got like a really nice one. I really like the one with your granddad actually.
Yeah, because I talk about that on this episode actually.
Yeah, because since since recording that, unfortunately, he's passed away. Yeah. And it's nice to have his like voice. I think that's the rarest thing to have of people, I think, as like a legacy, a snippet of their voice.
He's on two episodes, and I've got my cousin on some as well, and I remember recording with him. So that brings back memories as well, because it's fun and friends. And then even later on, we had listeners record lines for the show and send them to me, which is really fun. It's such a cool thing that, you know, a little bit of, you know, organisation, but it's a fun thing that we got to do. But yeah. So it wasn't something you ever had a passion for doing voice work, but you sort of got roped into it. And you ended up being on most episodes. Like, you and Rick do most of the voices.
Yeah, but Rick's actually good.
Going against Rick, I did you feel more under pressure? Because he's like the man of 1,000 voices.
Yeah, I know. He's a tough cookie to beat.
I don't suppose there's any particular voices or episodes you remember having to do.
I don't remember any particular voices. I just remember, like, some were harder than others and having to retake stuff like a lot.
Yeah, I remember a few times. It's one of them things, maybe it's the pressure of me being in the room, which is why actually in the end I left Rick to record his own lines. I gave him his own recording stuff, but you were sort of using my recording stuff, so I'm there, and then I'll be like, no do it again. And then you'd get like a reading in your head, which is not,
you get like stuck
what I was after, and you would do it again and again and again in that same pattern.
Yeah.
To like snap you out of it.
It's really hard to, when, as someone who has like no idea what I'm doing, really hard to self-assess and like snap yourself out of like that same cadence.
I mean, I don't think, I'm not a very good like teacher at all either. So I'm just like, no, do it like this. And whenever I listen back to my notes, like the instruction I'm giving you when I listen back to those, I was like, yeah, my instruction was rubbish.
How did I ever get there?
Yeah, it's not my forte. But yeah, it was good fun. But do you have any other memories of the show, other than just like pod awards and recording stuff, really, and doing the artwork, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's like a snapshot of our time in our lives, because we've been together quite a number of years now. And it's quite nice, like, when you kind of get in a run of a 5 minute and you kind of like feverishly like beaver away and work, yeah. and then we have like a break, and then it kind of really like benchmarks kind of some poignant times in our time together.
When I was between jobs and working on it, I had more time, and that was really like a production line going on, like recording today and I'm editing and I'm creating sound effects, and I had a real production line because it was kept me busy.
And also when we lived in Vienna.
Yeah, oh yeah, bringing all my recording equipment over to Vienna, and the episodes are recorded there. I remember trying to set up like a little sound booth because the acoustics were terrible in that flat.
We were in Vienna for a few months, and I remember it's one of the only times we've ever actually got a carry-on luggage, and we had a big suitcase between the two of us, and over half of it was your recording equipment.
Yeah.
So we had like a quarter of this massive suitcase each for over a month.
But that first one I did there was the Headless Horseman one, and that's actually... I put together, that's the one that won the award for Podcast Awards, and also I put together the sampler for the Podcast Awards in that flat as well, so it brings back those memories as well, which is really cool.
I think that's the thing, I'm going to just drop this bombshell, but I don't go back and listen to them.
No.
I as much as I'm involved in your podcasting, I'm not a fan of podcasts myself. I don't listen to any on a regular basis, but I just remember it as, real kind of like benchmark of times, and when I think back to those, it's kind of like really memorable. Which is interesting, isn't it, how sound as well, like everybody says music kind of like instills like memories in you and kind of like triggers that, and I feel like this is a similar kind of thing.
And we both do lots of creative stuff, kind of very separate to each other. We are both like getting involved in different creative endeavors, and this is one of the few creative things that there was an element that we sort of worked together on a little
bit. I really enjoyed it because I think we work well together doing this kind of stuff.
Oh well, I should have said we should have done other projects together, but yeah, it was fun to work on the project, and now it's come to an end. I'm sure you're incredibly sad to not have to drop everything and record voices for me.
I don't know. It's not. It's not. Never say never.
Yeah, I know Rick said that, but I have a lot on my plate.
I know, but I think, you know, maybe there's a... I know you're keen to get onto, like, different projects and, like, explore different avenues, and you've got quite a lot of stuff kind of, like, in the pipeline. But maybe there's room to, like, cycle back to stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's ones I never got to do, but also I have less free time with, like, work and studies and stuff now. So, yeah, maybe one day. But
It's not going anywhere, is it?
No, and it's always there for people to listen to. So, yeah, I thought it'd be nice to have you on. So thanks for joining me for this final episode. This is very formal, considering you're just going to go and sit on the sofa.
Yeah, I'm going to go watch some TV. Recording this.
But yeah, thanks for joining me. Thanks for being part of the show. And thanks for helping.
Thanks for making it.
When I first started the show, I was perhaps a little naive in how easy it would be to get all the voice acting I wanted on the stories. The first episode I worked on was the Anku, which I spent a long, long time making. And when it was all finished, I listened to it and was not happy. I didn't know who to ask for voices, so did them all myself on that one. And I didn't want it to be the first episode, as I didn't think it would set the right impression. I eventually tweaked it a little bit and released it as episode 3, because I didn't want to throw it out entirely, but it's still probably the roughest episode. So when I put Anku aside, initially I started working on the Selkie episode, and had recently met someone who had been doing some broad Scottish accents in a gathering. So I asked him to record a voice for me. And little did either of us know at the time that he would go on to be my regular voice man and appear on nearly every episode. And that's Rick Dove. So I'm going to have a talk with him now. Right. So hi, Rick. I'm with Rick.
Hello. I'm here.
And long-time 5-Minute Folklore listeners might not even recognise your regular voice, Rick.
No, not if they've just been listening to this one show. It does feel weird doing a 5-Minute Folklore where I'm just talking in my normal voice. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a treat for everyone, I hope.
Oh, God. The dulcet tones of Rick Dove.
Because this is the last episode, I thought it might be nice to talk to you and have Rebecca on the same episode as well. Just a little bit about our history of the pod and us working on the pod together and stuff. So first of all, Rick, how did we meet?
God, so I had finally plucked up the courage to get into the world of D&D after watching some bits and bobs online for a little while. And I took to Reddit, and I think I found it was an older post of yours.
It was a really old one, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up dropping you a message, and we sort of exchanged a few bits, and we started looking for a DM, and eventually got one group together, which then fell apart after the first sesh, and then we found the other lot, and yeah, we just fell into playing D&D together. And that was back in, what, 2017, I think it was?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I remember the first character you played was like a Scotsman.
A burly
Scotsman.
Yeah. And quaff bottle. Yeah, nonetheless.
That's right. And I thought, oh, that's perfect, because I'm doing an episode. I'd already done an episode about French folklore that I wasn't happy with, so I was going to work on it and push it back. So I was working on a new first episode, and I decided on... this Scottish folklore.
Selkies.
And yeah, that's it. And then hearing you do that, I was like, oh, that'd be perfect. So I was like, you know, a bit of a weird question, but can I meet up with you and just record you in your garage talking in your Scotch accent?
Yeah. And the thing is like, it's something I'd always kind of wanted to do, because I've been doing accents since I was like sort of 3-4 years old. It all started with an Iron Brew advert. Because there was this one line where at the end, this voice comes on and just went, "It's made in Scotland from Gerders." And so I was this little
I remember that.
Knee-high lad. I was running around going, "Oh, it's made in Scotland from Gerders." And all the adults used to sort of giggle away at it. So I kind of got into my accents because it made people laugh. And then I started picking up other things, like, you know, you just sort of hear Australian from the Foster's adverts, and then sort of Irish accents, Northern, West Country, Birmingham, whatever. And it just becomes this nice little melting pot of just fun accents. And I've always enjoyed doing them.
For American listeners, Iron Brew is a Scottish soft drink. Yeah, it's a fizzy drink. I don't really know what flavour it is. Gerda flavour.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
And I thought it's a cliche that, like, iron brew is everywhere in Scotland, and I recently got back from Scotland and there was iron brew everywhere.
It's amazing. I used to live in Scotland, and I used to buy it in glass 1 litre bottles, and we used to get, I think it was 5 or 10p back when we took the bottle back to the shop.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
The good old days, eh?
Yeah, I know. When I was a lad.
So we recorded the bits for that first that Scotland episode, and at the end of it you said to me, oh, if you want me to do any other voices, get in contact. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that might help, you know, I might need the odd voice, because, you know, crazily, when I first started the project, I was like, I'll have different people on every episode, I'll track down. And I was like, as soon as I started recording, I said to Becca, I was like, you know, thank God I met Rick, because trying to track down other people to do voices is impossible.
It's the range of stuff, though, that I absolutely loved what you threw at me. Like, so yeah, we started with Selkies, and then we did the, what's the next one? I think was it Norwegian or something? Like,
it was the Swedish one, yeah.
Holdra or something.
Yeah, Holdra. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, sort of trying to workshop the accents with that in my own time, because I'm a sad sod. Like, when I'm driving in the car, I practice doing these weird voices, because it all ties into my D&D, because I'm running a campaign at the moment. I'm a DM, so I've constantly got to pluck voices out of nowhere, so I just sit there just talking to myself like some sort of nutcase. But I really enjoy picking out these different voices. And then the first one that I loved, that was quite a challenge, was the Wendigo.
Right, but yeah. That's episode 4, I think.
Yeah.
The third was the French one, which you weren't on, which I had reworked, and then I got you back in for number 4, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool one, because trying to find out the voice of the Wendigo, because, yeah, I've played games where you had Wendigos and stuff like that, and they're always just sort of like these mindless creatures, but trying to, like, put a voice to one, it's like, where do you start with that? And I thought, you know, it sounded like it was hungry, so it's going to be... So it's coming for these guys, so, you know, it's going to have some of this sort of creepiness about it. And the voice just kind of emerges over time until you finally got something, and you're sort of adjusting the sort of tempo, like the bass, the pitch, everything about it, just to try and dial it in, and eventually you get something you like.
I used to like saying to you, well, I'm working on folklore from this country, to give you some sort of an idea, like, oh, the next one I think is going to be, you know, Russian or whatever.
Mm.
And so it would give you some sort of idea. But then I used to sometimes, when I was writing it, make myself laugh at your, like, thinking of your reaction to getting the script and seeing the lines you had. And I must admit, like, as it went on, it got sillier. Like, when I was doing the Dracula stuff, I was really enjoying thinking, like, Rick's gonna like these lines when he gets some of the stuff.
I loved being Dracula. It was just so much fun, because you get to do the big booming voice. I feel like you must, right?
It's the dream role.
It's so campy. It's great.
Well, the other favourite bit I always had was when I'd get your recordings back, because you were just... Because I used to... At the beginning, I used to go over to yours and record with you and just give you notes. And then in the end, I was like, he's got this. I don't need this. So I gave you, like, spare mic and all this stuff and said, yeah, go for it. I'll just email you the stuff over. And then I would get your file back.
Yeah.
And I used to love... Because you would just send me the whole raw file of all your takes and your comments in between the takes and stuff, and you being unhappy with certain takes. And that was always really, really enjoyable to listen to.
There was a lot of swearing.
Yeah. When I'm listening through and I'm laughing in my headphones, Becca's always like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, I got the new Rick file. I might play her some of the highlights, you know.
I listened back to a couple just in sort of preparation for this, and what caught me was, like, how I've kind of evolved over time and what I'm able to do range wise because I was listening to the Captain Stormalong one,
right?
And I heard myself, and I think on that one I tried to do an evolution, so you can hear him when he's a little bit younger, and then he ages a little bit. And then he's, like, older, and, you know, he's a little bit gruffer, but I was still doing it, so it was like this, like my regular voice. But now, if I was to tackle it, you know, it would be coming from here, it'd be something a bit more powerful, because it's Captain Stormalong. You know, and I just, it's that range that has sort of been pulled out over time, and I'd love to go back and do some of the old recordings again.
I think that's the same of any project. I mean, I would say that even about any of the podcasts and stuff I've worked on, when I look at the early episodes and see how they sort of evolve, it's always like how you would go back and do things differently. But eventually I moved away and you moved away, and I carried on recording, and yeah, it was no problem because we'd already sort of established that like recording remotely thing. So it was just, yeah, business as usual. But the exciting thing was about a year into the podcast, I got nominated for the British Podcast Awards.
You certainly did. Yeah.
Which was really fun. And we got to go to the big ceremony in London.
We did. We did.
Rick, what do you remember of that ceremony?
I remember the Land Rover podcast just everywhere. And I remember being very annoyed with the Land Rover podcast. And I may have shouted fix a little bit too loud at the end.
We did get some looks. We had already had a few drinks. It was an open bar. So thanks, Acast. So, yeah, we had a few drinks before we went in there.
I think it was like, three old fashions?
Something like that. And then as soon as we got in there, you pulled a bottle of wine from... It's like you magicked out of thin air and, yeah.
No comment.
Yeah, it was a fun evening. I think I went with sort of amazed that I'd been nominated for something that I'd done in... You know, not then, it was my girlfriend's parents' spare room. So it was amazing. I didn't think we would win, and we didn't. Land Rover won, as Rick already alluded to.
Yes.
But it was amazing to be there, like one of five nominated in the fiction category. And it was a really, really fun night, and it felt like a celebration.
It was phenomenal, yeah. And it was really weird seeing some of the celebrities that were in the room. It just really surprised me looking around. Like, I think I spoke to, is it Josh Widdicombe?
Yeah, I don't remember.
there was one guy there, and he was in the film Four Lions, and he's been in a few other bits that I've watched. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, which is funny because I walked up to him, I called him the wrong name. he still shook my hand, he smiled as like a gent, and I did, I mentioned the right film that he was in at least, but I walked away, and it was only afterwards where you're like, are you sure that's him, Rick? And I was like, oh God, and I just wanted the ground to open up. It was terrible.
Yeah. So that was an amazing experience. And then, eventually, because I worked with you on doing this podcast, I then said, well, my other podcast has been running for years, 5 years, Weird Tales and the Unexplainable.
Mm.
And we sort of grandfathered you into into that, and you sort of became the fourth member appearing once a series to re-get, like we, that was, you said about looking at your early episodes. That's kind of what the episodes I do with you for Weird Tales are, where something that I think we covered early on in the show, because it'd been running for so long that I wanted to revisit, we didn't go into enough depth, and I thought I'll be good to do that with someone who's got a different viewpoint rather than me and the regular hosts just going over it again. I'll do it with someone else, and it gives us all a bit of breathing room as well for the other guys to get their episodes ready. So, and that's been really successful and popular as well. So they're really fun, different episodes, and you've sort of become a part of that show as well.
Yeah, that was like, it's been a real privilege for me doing that, because I started listening to Weird Tales as soon as I met you, as soon as you told me about it, because it rings all of my bells. I'm into the strange, the bizarre, the occult, the weird. Bit of a skeptic, but hey, that's something for a different time.
So am I.
But yeah, like when you asked me to do that, I was actually really quite touched. It was like I'd made it to the big leagues. I felt so happy. And just been able to collaborate on more projects, it's been great, because it's always a pleasure working with you. It's just so simple and fun.
Something you may, I keep forgetting to tell you, but you may like this. We get quite a lot of emails to Weird Tales. The listenership to that show is very vocal. And normally we get like, hi Weird Tales, or hi Bob, because they know I'm the one reading them. Or sometimes it's hi Bob, Beef and Tiss. And now we're getting a few hi Bob, Beef, Tiss and Ricks.
Ooh.
So you're getting in the email strings for some of the listeners to that show now.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I'm like a background character, man. I'm like an extra. I'm not one of the Beatles.
Wow. Those episodes become really popular. And so you said 2017 we started collaborating on 5 minutes. Now 2021.
Yeah.
So, a few years on and still going strong. Sadly, this show I just don't have time for anymore. But yeah, the Weird Tale stuff, there's no stopping it.
Yeah, doing this has been an absolute pleasure, because it's been an interesting challenge. And it's brought up a few interesting points for me, because, I obviously discovered there's some accents that I just won't do. And there's some that I shouldn't have done. I did a South African one. I think it was the Tikbalang or something like that.
The Groot slang.
Groot slang, that's it. Groot slang. That's it. And I butchered that accent. Jesus Christ.
That's the one you're least happy file. With.
I want to just die when I hear that. It just sounds terrible. It was a caricature of a South African accent. It sounded terrible.
I've never had a complaint for that one, if it's any consolation.
You probably will now if people catch this at the end. Like, oh, whilst I'm at it. He raises a good point. But, you know, stuff like the... stuff like Philippines accents and things like that. Mm. There's a bit of a line, I think. I think you have to be careful when it comes to certain cultures, because it can seem like you're overstepping a line and, you know, maybe sort of bordering on racist. But I'd like people to know that any of the accents that I've done have only ever been with the deepest respect, even when it's been silly stuff, you know, like when we did that one that sounded kind of like a Mexican teleplay.
Yeah.
You know, where it was like, Maria, why do you do this to me? You know, it's done with love. I'm it's a homage to those things that are out there. And we had a complaint, didn't we?
For that one, yeah, we did. I was kind of upset because it was just in jest, but I absolutely adore Mexican folklore and, you know, culture and everything. So I was kind of sad that I kind of got that complaint. But, you know, we don't really get many. I didn't have many complaints over the run of the show.
No. I think that particular one, trying to call us out for cultural appropriation, was a bit beyond the pale for me.
It was a bit sillier. Yeah. Than some of the others, maybe.
It was, but there was nothing nasty meant about it. We're not trying to appropriate anyone's culture. If anything, it's a homage, and it's just sort of trying to bring interesting stories to people who might not otherwise be exposed to them.
Well, that was the intention of the show. But yeah, so Rick, just to cap it off, you've already mentioned the Wendigo one. Mm. Do you have any favourite memories, voices, episodes?
Doing Russian accents is always fun, you know, because it is just so easy. It rolls off the tongue. It's a good one, but not my favorite.
That was kind of a bit. That was a real popular early one as well. It was Koshe the Deathless, wasn't it?
That's the one. Yeah, that I enjoyed doing that one.
That was a really popular one.
I think it probably was that Mexican teleplay one I enjoyed the most. We had a lot of fun with
it. It's the most hammy, yeah.
It really was.
Good to ham it up.
The Strigoi one as well, where I got to be Dracula. Like I did really enjoy that. That felt like quite a good one.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my faves. The Dracula one was one of my faves because I just love Dracula stuff. And I really like... the Headless Horseman one is the one that got us the nomination for the Pod Awards. So that was always like dear to my heart because I was like, that's the one they picked.
Yeah, because that one surprised me because when it was saying like it's part of Irish folklore, that took me by surprise.
Well, it was kind of mixed because we had the German one and the Irish one. It was, So I think that's because that was quite a varied episode. I think that might be the one that pushed that for getting the nomination.
I didn't do a German accent, did I? I don't remember doing that.
I don't remember.
Uh-oh. If I did, I'm sorry.
Well, thanks, Rick.
It's been so much fun doing it, mate. And to be honest, I'm going to miss the little challenges of you going, right, sound like this. Because it has been so much fun getting those emails and going, right, let's get stuck in. And hey, a massive, massive thank you to all of you listeners. Anyone who's stuck around to listen to this or has picked this up after the fact, really appreciate you sticking with the show. It's been so much fun to do it and a real pleasure entertaining all of you, hopefully.
Yeah, thanks so much, Rick. And I'm sure the listeners enjoyed trying to pick out which lines were yours every episode.
And hey, to anyone out there who might be in need of a voice actor for a project, I don't charge anything. I do stuff for funsies. And if you've got anything interesting you want me to do, drop Bob a message at his usuals, which will probably come up at the end of the show.
Yeah, so do. If you want to get in contact, all the information will be at the end of the episode. So do that. So thanks again, Rick. It's been a really fun project to work on with you. And I'm sad to see it come to the end because there's so many ones that I would have loved to cover in the future and some that I would just love to have heard what you would have done with.
Well, if you ever get the itch to do it again, you know where to find me.
As well as Rick and Rebecca, it was fun to include other voices on lots of the episodes too. I had friends appear to do voices on some, including my Weird Tales and the Unexplainable co-hosts, Beef and Tiss, family members like my cousin, James, who was on a few, and even some listeners who recorded their lines remotely and sent them to me, which was really a lot of fun to get those emails and recordings. But most important to me is that the Mama Toro episode and the Wendigo episode feature a few small lines recorded by my grandfather, Malcolm Scheuer, who has since passed away. The ability to hear his voice on those episodes and the memories of laughing with him and my cousin as we recorded is something very special to me. So thanks to everyone who recorded and contributed or helped with research if I was covering a story from their country or attempting to improve my pronunciation, like Swedish listener Alice, who I ended up meeting up with in Stockholm. And especially a huge thank you to all of you who listened. Thank you. This was a very special and personal project for me. So that's it. I'm glad I could give this podcast a proper send-off with this episode. You can still contact me via the email 5minutefolklore@gmail.com or through the website 5minutefolklore.com. And I do still work on other podcasts, so you can go to my website bobshoy.com, bobshoy.com, to see other things I work on. If you have enjoyed this show, you may not have heard the three bonus mini-episodes I made as well, and you can purchase them for a reasonable price at bobshoy.bandcamp.com. bobshoy.bandcamp.com. There are episodes on Kelpies, John Henry, and Gargoyles bundled up in an album called FMF Extra. Finally, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Bob Shoy, that's at bobshoy, to see what I'm up to and interact with me if you like. So that's all for 5 Minute Folklore for now, and probably ever. I doubt there will be any more, but never say never. Maybe one day I'll return and finish covering a folklore from every country in the world, as I had originally intended to do. Until then, thank you again for listening, and goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.